Top of the morning, lads and ladies. Support for the Awfully Irish podcast is now brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and you're no longer lead the look of the Irish with the ladies. Manscaped just launched in Ireland. We've gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can now be one of the first men in Ireland to experience their life-changing products.
Your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code IrishPod at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code IrishPod. Right, David, how about you introduce yourself?
My name is David Witt. I'm from New York State in America, and I am an Olympic recurve shooter for archery. To my Irish friend, it's freestyle, but I shoot the same way that they shoot in the Olympics, and I'm fairly good at it, surprisingly.
Yeah, it's a very competitive point, group in archery. You can imagine, you know, it's Olympic recurve. Guess where they go with that, the Olympics. It's mighty, and you're fairly good at it. So how'd you get into archery in the first place? Because, you're from New York State, and I'd never think of New York as being, like, very open for archery.
It's going to sound so funny and so weird, but during my misguided childhood of reading fantasy novels, I fell in love with the series as a kid that was about basically just an archer, and I fell in love with it. And, like, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to do it, wanted to shoot, and then I ended up finding this club that's not too far from my house that has the JOED program, which is Junior Olympic Archery Development. Mm-hmm. And I joined there and started shooting, and I've been shooting for, like, 10 years now. They took care of me.
Let me just fix my camera here. Yeah, it's a fun one, archery. You know, we all somehow fall into it. We never really choose it, you know?
You never choose it, you fall into it, and then the next thing you know, you're buying a bow and buying all the stuff to go with it, and then you're upgrading your stuff as it comes along.
$500 bow, $20 arrows, more, you know?
And then you're buying Nox, because you ruin your Nox.
Yeah. You're getting rid of the kidneys. It's a story as old as time.
It really is. You trade your firstborn child for a new bow, you know.
Yeah.
It happens.
There you go. I used to have two siblings. Now I'm an only child. No. So what bow do you shoot?
So I shoot a SF riser with Hoyt limbs. So that's the first riser I ever bought, was the SF one, and it just kind of grew with me. And then between friends that I shot with, like, I shoot with a guy, his name's Tim Plumbo. He is on the U.S. Paralympic team. He's a great dude, best shooter I've ever met, and I actually got an old set of limbs from him that he had gotten for free a long time ago and he didn't use. So I just basically upgraded my stuff through the club, and then slowly but surely I amassed. Like, I have two different bows now. Like, three sets of limbs, a bunch of stabilizers, like, just a bunch of random stuff that just got given to me because of my dedication to the sport and people wanting to see me succeed.
Yeah, and how far have you gotten with it so far? Because I know in the States, it's a lot more competitive than here.
It's extremely competitive here, and because of uni and COVID, I've kind of had to take a break. But before then, I was second in New York State, and then I shot nationals last year, and I was, like, top 10% in the U.S., which,
that's pretty dope, damn good.
If we're at 19 years old, it's pretty good. I was shooting, I mean, look at my average, I was shooting about a 280 out of 300 was my average score, which, if people that don't know much about archery, that's an average of a 9 or above.
Yeah, which is what you want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when you brought up what gear you have for your bow, you know, you said SF, and I'm pretty sure SF has been gone for the last few years. Let me fix this.
Let me take a look.
I used to shoot an SF riser, and then I switched to a Kaya after SF went under. I shot SF limbs on the Kaya, and then I switched to a Gelo. Now I'm with Spigarelli.
You're shooting Spigarelli now, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they might have gone under. All I know is that I got that bow like 10 years. Yeah, they've... Damn. I had the SF, like, whatever the starter one was, 25-inch riser, 25-pound limbs, like, just as a start with a cheap sight, cheap, like, it was a whole package. I can't believe they went under, but, and then I just grew from there, and I have the same riser because I needed a new riser. It was, it worked well for me. There was no issues with it, but the limbs is where I needed to grow and upgrade because my back muscles, you'd be surprised, you would know with how much your back muscles just get stronger and stronger shooting. I'm shooting 40 on the fingers now with a pretty long draw length.
Are you literally shooting off your fingers or a tab?
I had a tab. I shoot tab.
Yeah, same.
I shoot another brand that's gone. I can't think of it. Cavalier. I shoot a Cavalier tab. They don't make them anymore, but I have a bunch of them because people stockpiled them, and I bought them from people, and it's what I like. Nice leather tab with a metal faceplate.
Yeah, and no, I have one as well.
That's what I shoot.
Yeah, you know, One thing in archery is, like, if you want to be, like, a new company in it, good luck to you. Because it's a pretty competitive market. It's dominated mainly by Hoyt. If you want to go to Barebow, it's Gilo, Spigarelli.
Yeah.
Good luck breaking into that market. And even on that, it's a niche market.
Even compounds. Like, there Hoyt was a time Matthew, when you had different... Hoyt, yeah, if you're shooting competitive, you have a Hoyt compound. If you're shooting hunting, it's usually a bear, or even people shoot Hoyts for hunting. Which is insane. Like, Hoyt dominates the market in everything. Do you have, like, an archery supply store by you, or do you have to order everything online?
Well, there is one nearby me, but they obviously have limited supply. You know, we don't get all the stuff you get in the States. Because most archery brands are based in the States. We just get kind of the European ones.
See, for me, like, you obviously have your hunting good stores, like your Cabela's and your Dick's, but they don't carry a lot of the stuff that someone like me would need shooting recurve, because they carry hunting bow, or yeah, they carry hunting bows and compounds, and that's it. And then the cheap takedowns that, you know, people buy for their kids. Yeah. But there's one big store by me, which is Lancaster Archery Supply, and I was there once, and it was amazing. Bows everywhere. That's where I shot nationals. There was just bows. And, like, I walked in there, I was like, I'm not gonna spend any money. I spent $100 in, like, 10 minutes, like, just because there was so much stuff. You had to, man.
Yeah, what can you do? It just, if it's there, like a kid in a candy store.
It really is.
Yeah. But, you know, fair play to Hoyt for getting this far, because I think they started in, like, the 1930s, and or around that time, they've just dominated since. Yeah, fact check me there. Jamie, pull that up.
Or Jamie, pull that. Where's your Jamie, man?
My Jamie, right now, he's MIA. But he'll be on the next episode.
You're missing Jamie. Hoyt was founded in 1931 in St. Louis by Earl Hoyt Sr., handmade cedarwood bows. So, yeah, they've been in business for a long-ass time, and they dominate the market. Like, everybody I know that shoots at a high level shoots Hoyt. Like, it's just, it's what they do. They shoot, my buddy that's on the Paralympic team, he gets the new Hoyt bow every time they get one out, and it gets sent to him.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, your main for stabilizers, Bee Stinger has the market there. Hoyt has the market for bows and for limbs. I don't even know who has the sight market anymore. The sight market's all jacked up. And then I know that, like arrows. Yeah. I think Axiom was it? But Arrow's usually Easton. Yeah. I think Axiom has a site marker right now, but yeah. I think...
I'm Easton.
Easton has...
quality.
I shoot Easton arrows, I know.
I shoot the carbon ones.
See, I don't have carbons because I don't need them. I don't shoot outside enough. It's too cold up here for that shit.
Yeah. But, so, wait, what, do you shoot aluminum?
Yeah, I shoot aluminum. I shoot...
Do they not, like, bend like crazy?
Oh, no, I got stiff aluminum. So because of how heavy my my bow is, there's a whole mathematical thing for it. My coach would be able to explain it better, but they're stiffer on the back end, and they're super thick aluminum. But at the same time, they're light as hell. And I don't know how big – you're probably shooting thin carbons then, right? Because you're shooting carbons. Yeah, I'm shooting pretty decent size, like probably a little smaller than that. For my aluminums, but that helps too. I'm shooting a target, so the bigger the arrow, the easier it is to break the line.
That's the big difference between what myself and yourself do. I'm out there shooting, you know, 3D targets, and you're shooting
round ones. Flat face.
I don't know. People in my part of the sport think it's boring to shoot what you shoot.
See, I don't know. I've shot 3D for fun. Like, I've shot the 3D course that they set up at the club, and also they have 3D targets inside sometimes. But I can see both sides of it. I would love to learn how to shoot like you shoot, traditional finger on the cheek, you know, high string walk, whatever.
Yeah.
But I also love, I appreciate the beauty of just the same thing every time to get that beautiful shot, that tight grouping in the middle of the target. Like, I appreciate that as a person as well.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, about art, the one thing I love about archery is you're only battling yourself. Like, I've played sports all throughout my entire life, but it's always been a team sport, whatever. Archery, it's you. It's just you. It's all in your head. It's good for personal growth. It's good for, like, it helped me with a lot of, like, mental stuff, stress stuff.
Like, I try to explain to people, like, how easy it is to control your emotions when you're an archer.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You're constantly trying to, like, calm down, find ways to just stay neutral. Or positive.
Stay in your zone, put it behind you. Like, I know, like, when I started out, you could do something, like, because for us, we shoot on a line all next to each other. I don't know how you guys do, but we shoot on a line next to each other, so the person next to you can completely throw you off if you're, you know, paying attention to them, whatever. My best friend in the sports, and it was Josh Kunkis, he's like 25 now. He basically took care of me when I was a kid. So there's two lines where I was. There's the 8 a.m. line and the 12 line. And the 8 a.m. was for the kids and for the people that were just starting. So me at the age of like 12 got moved up to the adult line. And this dude just kind of like took me under his wing. Same thing with Tim. They both took me under their wing and took care of me. And to the point where the two of us would just joke with each other on the line and still be fine because we have our own mental space where we're good.
Yeah.
And they put us next to each other to state shoot the one time. And everybody else is looking at us like they're freaking out. We're just sitting there like doing our thing. Like we fucked up our shots. We're like, he looks at me, goes, "Don't worry, be happy." So we're sitting there just joking around and all this shit. And like, and as a archer, you just have that center because you have to. You can't let other things bother you. You make one bad shot. All right, next shot, put it in the 10 ring.
Yeah.
Like, and then I also started coaching 2 years ago now, the early lines. And like, I've taken kids who spasmatic, stressed, dealing with like life stuff, school, like bullies, and like I've been like, look, don't let it bother you. Just focus on you and you're good. And I've seen kids turn around and like they have the time of their life shooting, and it's really just a great sport. I wish it had more traction.
Yeah. Like it will be hard to explain to someone who's never tried it what it's like. It's the same like with most things. If you don't understand the experience, you can't really relate to it. But yeah, definitely when we're doing competitive archery, you have to control your emotions. So overall, you're a more stable person, which is a positive always.
For
like,
sure.
I say that you probably very, very rarely get like thoroughly upset with someone. Probably very relaxed.
It's usually, and if I do get upset, it's a slow burn too. Like it's really taught me too. It's a slow burn. Like just let it go, let it go, let it go. Drop warnings, let it go, and then you'll blow up. But like at the same time, you're shooting. You get up, you shoot your three arrows, you sit back down. That round's done. Put it behind you. Doesn't matter how good it was, how bad it was. It's done. There's
nothing you can do.
There's nothing. It's done. You shoot. You throw one into the six ring, put the other two in the nine ring. It's done. Got to walk away from it. That's all the round is. Like, that's the other thing, too, is there's no regrets. No, oh, I could have done. No, it's done. You shoot those three, you're done. On to the next round. Focus for the next round.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, for me, it's a bit more relaxed. It's like a 16 for your first. Okay, so scoring for me is first arrow. The kill is a 20. The wound is a 16. 16 is the majority of the target. Wound is like you're pretty damn accurate.
It's your bullseye, yeah.
Yeah. Then it's second arrow is what? 14 for a kill, 10 for a wound. Third arrow, what is it? 8 for a kill, 4 for a wound. Like, for me, it's a lot more relaxed. Like, I could just, oh, at least I hit it. A hit is a hit. But with you, it's like, okay, I almost broke the line for the 9, but realistically, I got an 8, and I have to deal with that.
It's not even that bad, dude. Red and in is, for me, I'm okay with an 8 and in. When you throw one in, like, the 6 ring, so it goes 10, 9, 8, and then it just comes outward to 1. You throw one in the 6 ring, you can't go, oh, can't get all worried about it, and then you'll start thinking about it and you put it in the 6 ring again. No. Mental toughness, block it out, put them both in the 10 or the 9 ring, and then that round evens out and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit of a recovery there. But, you know, people already understand that, like, I'd say if you're shooting 60 yards, 80 yards, like, the slightest twitch, twitch at all is you missing. It amazes me how people hit 80 yards consistently.
So, indoors, I shoot 20 yards. Mm-hmm. And then outdoors, I think I'm on 70 now. I might actually be at 80. I've shot 70 before, and it's amazing how little. Like, inside, you doing something small might move you over an inch or two. Outside, you doing that, it's going to take you from the center of the target out.
And literally missing the whole thing.
Literally missing the whole thing, because it's so, the distance magnifies your errors, and that's a true way to see how good you truly are. And that's why the Olympics, they shoot outside at 80, because it shows this person is insanely good at what they do. They're consistent. It's everything about archery is just consistency.
Yeah.
Or doing something wrong consistent enough that it's not going to affect you.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's just always conquering ourselves is what we have to do. Do you follow any, like, athletes in the Olympics, like, as in archers?
Brady Ellison, Jake Kaminsky. Brady. Of course, Brady, because Brady's just the top of the world right now. He's doing things that have been unheard of with his scores.
He just owns, like, all the records at the moment, doesn't he?
He does. I think there's one left. No, he broke them all. He broke all the records and is, like, the king of archery currently. Like, he's untouchable. And, like, that's another dude, but, like, he does it 8 hours a day every single day. And he's got to the pinnacle of, he's so good that he needs to, like, shoot every day or he's going to lose it.
Yeah. I suppose when you're at that level, it's like, okay, I can only have decaf from now on because if I have too much caffeine, I'm going to shake too much. If I worked out 2 days ago, I might still have some shake left over. Or if I don't work out, I'm going to lose it. Blah, 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 blah. I had too much sugar on my cereal or something.
It's probably it's probably micromanaged that level because he's that in tune with himself and with his shooting.
I suppose you have to be at that point, you know, number one in the world. That's crazy. Like, the idea that eating, like, a pancake could throw off your shot.
Could throw off, dude. It's amazing to think about that. Like, even I know, like, if I have to shoot a tournament, like, I need some food in me, but I can't have too much sugar. I have to have enough sugar that my blood sugar level is good so I can see good. But if I have too much, then I'm feeling off. Or, like, same thing with, like, water. Like, you'd be surprised how much water you have to drink to keep your muscles together and in tune.
Yeah.
Because for me, but then you got to shoot. Yeah, you can't. But you have to shoot for a normal round. It's 30 arrows for a normal round. You have to shoot 230 rounds for, like, a game of archery for Olympic scoring. So you got to figure at a tournament, you're shooting, 120 just for one round of the tournament. And usually there's three rounds. So you got to shoot 120 one day, maybe another 120 later in the day, and then another 120. And it's the other thing, too, is people understand how difficult it is to shoot. Like, I love when people make fun of archers for, like, oh, it's so, like, people can't even pull back the bows that we pull back, and they can't, like, and they'll miss, too. Like, there's so much that goes into it with every little detail of the form. Like, I know, do you string walk, or do you,
Yeah, I do.
You string walk? Okay, so I anchor underneath my chin, but, like, if my elbow's out of place, shot's off. Don't fall through right, shot, like, everything matters. And people understand how attention detail you have to have to be able to shoot.
Yeah. And then you're not taking into account if you're doing multiple rounds that eventually muscle fatigue is going to be there.
Oh, it's and a bitch.
Then you're dead.
Like, it's a bitch.
When I'm shooting outside, it could be, you know, maybe 4 or 5 degrees Celsius. And it could be raining at the same time. Your gear could have got muddy from that time you missed, blah, blah, blah. And it's at the end of the day, you're getting shaky, you're cold, blah, 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 fingers are numb. And you're still expected to shoot pretty damn well.
Oh, you are. It's just you're expected to and you're supposed to. Muscle fatigue, for me, it's funny, though. I shoot the best when I'm tired. Like, right when I'm starting to get tired and I'm getting sore, I shoot the best.
Yeah.
But then you reach, no matter what you do, you reach a point where your shooting goes downhill once you're tired. And the way I got around that when I was younger was I would shoot so much at the practice to the point that I would get tired. When I got to that point, I'd shoot 3 more rounds and call it. Because you're just going to hurt yourself if you shoot too much when you're not on, and you're going to hurt your form, whatever. But it builds up those muscles. And then, I don't know, like, I have a rubber band that I use. I used to use for my muscles. It's in my room somewhere. But it's just a exercise band just to build the muscles up, because you need all your back muscles and your shoulders. Because none of archery is with your biceps, none of it. It's all your back and your shoulders, and that's it. And I know when I shoot a lot, like, my traps, they tighten up into big old knots. I don't know if you have that issue, but I get my – they tighten up into big knots, and then you're just, like, walking like this for the next week. But
yeah, it's a rough old one. But, yeah, you know, people already understand if they're not archers, like, the different ways we aim as well. You know, there's people who go out there and they literally try to do it instinctively. And instinctively, for anyone who doesn't know, is kind of this idea that we've had archery with us for so long that there's some kind of instinct in it. And you kind of just stare at it pretty intensely.
It's like hip firing a gun.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what instinctive shooting is. It's like hip firing a gun. It's like we've had this for so long, and you think you're so good at it that you can just point a gun at somebody and shoot them wherever you want without having to, you know, use the proper aiming down sights and everything.
Yeah. Basically. Pretty much nailed it there. And then there's the string walkers, like myself, and I keep using this comb as an example. Picture my finger as the string and the comb as the tab. And every single line here is a different distance. So I just place it back down to where I want to go, pull it back and go.
And then for me, I have a sight. So, but just having the sight isn't the important part of that. I have to line the sight up for the distance on the center or whatever. But just like with a gun, you have a front sight and a back sight for a gun. For archery, you have a front sight and a back sight. For Olympic, you have your sight pin with the pin in the middle, and then your back sight's your anchor and your elbow. And, like, if you're not underneath right, it's not going to matter. You're going to be up and down. If you're sliding up and down your face, you're not consistent. Absolutely. It's all consistent. For you, I'm assuming you come up to the cheek, and then depending where you need to be, move your fingers up and down for the string walk.
No, that would be face walking. I have to do one or the other, and I pick the string walking because it's more, I guess, diverse. I can do more with it. I get as low as I can so I can get further distances, so I have my index finger straight in there.
Oh, okay.
Just where my lip is there and goes into my cheekbone.
Yeah, I'm underneath. And then usually I have my string touch here and here.
Mm.
It's touching here for string alignment. Because that's another huge thing, string alignment. Like, there's so many little details that consist in a great shot. The first thing you got to do is you start off with your mind clear. You take your arrow out, put it in, settle down. Bring it up, bring it back, and then there's the timing aspect too. So I shoot with a clicker. I know you can't have one, but it'll tell me when I'm at full draw to release. But in my head, I'm still keeping a count. Like, I shoot on like a 3 count, so it's up, 1, 2, 3, go. And everything, the follow through, alignment, and then just you see it sail through, beautiful shot right in, and then you breathe out, take like a 20-second break, and do it again.
Jeez, but when you think about all the things we have to do to pull off a shot, you wonder how we do it at all.
It's
it is pretty crazy.
It's crazy, and it's amazing that the human body can do so many little things at once, so many micro adjustments.
And even at that, that's just 3 ways you can shoot, and there's a lot more than that. Like, there's gap shooting as well, and then there's just point on. Like, some people literally just put the point on it
and shoot.
That works
for them.
Fair play.
Exactly.
And then there's compounders, and they can have all kinds of different sights.
Yeah, they have training wheels. We don't talk about compound shooters. Yeah.
However they invented the compound was such a breakthrough in archery.
It's genius.
The idea you didn't have to, like, I still don't understand how it works. The idea you don't have to have all the poundage on you. It's pretty damn cool.
So the way it works is there's 2 cams that are on the pulleys.
Yeah.
And I have a compound that I just recently acquired from a buddy of mine that gave it to me, but I've shot them before. And you pull, and, like, you know how for when we're shooting, we just pull it back all the way, and we're holding it all back tension, all with our back. So with the compounds, you get to a point, and it's like the valley. So you go up, and you hit this hill. in the valley, you pull it, and then the pulleys take over, and all the weight's on the pulleys, and you're holding, like, 10% of what is actually on the bow. So these people are shooting, like, 90 pounds, and they're only holding 10, 15 pounds, and that's why they can, you know, that's why people use them to hunt, and that's why they can hold them forever. Like, compound shooters, you see them sit there and hold their sight on, try and get it on, move it, like, forever, and then they pull their trigger, and that's that. Because they have a certain amount of time.
Have you ever seen Cameron Haynes?
I can't say I have. Is he a compound shooter from the States?
Yeah, compound shooter in the States, but he's a hunter. Yeah, I think he's probably the biggest hunter I'd know about. And what is it? He shoots with 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Just for bow hunting.
Yeah.
And he trains pretty intensively to bow hunt. Like he's an absolute beast. He runs like 10 miles a day. And he's training for bow hunting. Like, whoa. And shooting 80 pounds consistently, I don't know how the fuck you pull that back.
Dude, it's because you're only pulling 80 pounds for, like, a third of the pull.
And well, then at a certain point, when does your entire, like, shoulder blade rip out of itself or something?
It doesn't, because of the way they're built. Like, I know the compound I have is at 75.
Yeah.
And you would not think my scrawny ass can pull the thing back, but once I get to the valley, I can just sit in it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, for us, we can't sit. We have to. We're holding all of it. And if you hold a shot too long, you get a weak shot. It's a shit shot.
Yeah, and you get the shakes.
Yeah, the shakes.
So I'm going back to muscle fatigue. Shakes.
Yeah. The infamous shakes.
Yeah, your shot shouldn't really be more than 10 seconds ever. If you're at 10 seconds, you should be a bit worried.
More than 5 seconds if you're shooting recurve.
Well, I mean, I suppose that works better for you because you know your distance. With me, that's I never know the distance. I have to figure
it out. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, because I could put it at 20 yards and be like, okay, is that 22? Is that 23? Am I blind today? You know? Yeah. Man, doing an unmarked round is pretty damn difficult. Not knowing your distance.
It seems like it'd be fun. Like, it seems like it'd be really fun to do, but, like, at the same time, I'd have to switch everything I know as an archer to do that.
Yeah.
The a lot of compound shooters do that up here. They have, like, field courses set up like you do, where they'll have their sight pin set up for 20, 40, 60, 80, and then they'll shoot like that.
Well, that's handy when you have pins.
Yeah, well, they have pins. They have all kinds of, again, you got to think, the compound shooters are your Bugattis of the world. They have all the bells and whistles. We're just driving our 9-to-5 cars to get us there and take the effort and the skill to get there.
Yeah, we're pretty close. they've kind of figured it out, and then there's us, like, yeah. And then no one's really figured out bear bow.
Which is more satisfying, though? Satisfying? Like, and which makes you feel like you're doing something. Like, when I've shot compound, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. And it's just like, you put it on and you hit, and that's it. That's all compound is. And you can hold it forever and line yourself. Nah, like, I like the flow of recurve shot, bring it up. 1, 2, 3, let it go, and then reset. So how long do you have a certain time limit to shoot your targets on your freestyle or on your field courses or no?
As far as I know, it's 2 minutes per arrow.
Okay, it's 2 minutes per arrow? Wow.
But you only shoot 3.
Wow. 2 minutes per arrow?
Well, it's 2 minutes after you get to the peg.
Okay, so you have 2 minutes.
I've never met someone who's gone over 2 minutes or reached 2 minutes ever. Right, I've been shooting for 6 years.
We have 2 minutes for us to shoot all 3. So, like, you and people are, you know, it's such a long amount of time. It's amazing too. People hear 2 minutes, they're like, there's no, like, no, you have so much time for 2 minutes. I remember when I first started shooting, like, I was done in 30 seconds with 3 arrows.
Just
and that's
panicking.
So bad. Well, panicking and just trying to get through, that's so bad. Now, I'd write it out usually. Like, I shoot faster than most people, but I make sure I take, like, a 20-second break in between. I must reset, get oxygen to them again, and shoot. I'm still done in, like, a minute, but, like, then you have the people that sit there, and they're so slow and so drawn out, and they have these beautiful shots.
Yeah. I mean, like, power to those people. Fair play. For the rest of us mortals, it's, Yeah,
the rest of us mortals.
Yeah, it's amazing how good some people can be. You ever see that guy? I interviewed him recently, James Jean.
Yeah.
And he does all those trick shots.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how the fuck he pulls them off.
It's, yeah. Stuff like, same with Lars Anderson. Have you ever seen him? That dude.
The guy who said he reinvented archery. Yeah.
That dude shoots, like, I've seen him shoot 10 arrows in, like, 10 seconds. Like, just launch it, like, and trick shots, and, like, that stuff's insane.
You have to wonder how he does it. But yeah, I mean, power to him. I think he studied the way, like, people in the past used to use their bows.
Yeah,
and
to shoot. Yeah.
How exact they were.
They would shoot with the arrows in hand, too.
Yeah.
Like, he learned how to shoot with arrows in hand, which nobody, who the fuck does that? I mean, like, I have a quiver, you wear a quiver. Everybody I know, you wear a quiver. And I wear a hip quiver with a belt, yeah. And, like, it's...
What's his argument, though, like, that... That was super clumsy, which is right.
It is super clumsy.
If you're holding them by hand, you could pick up an enemy's arrows fairly handy after a shot.
And you can shoot quicker, too. That's why he's able to shoot so fast, because he's not reaching. There's no extra movement. He's just coming here, shooting, coming here, and like he's knocking it as he's pulling it out of his hand.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's just, it's mind-blowing to think about. And, like, just the technological advances, too, to the sport in the past, since it was invented, since archery's been created, which, you know, shout out to England and their longbows, which their longbow is good for one thing, right? Volleys of arrows, shooting at people, large volleys on a castle wall. That's what the longbow was good for. Then you had the Mongolians who made the recurve bow. They're the people that created the recurve bow. And they used it for horseback archery, and the things they did was quick strikes, all this stuff. Then you have it transfer over into from a primary survival tactic to a sport. And if you look at, like, the Olympic studies and all the stuff that they do now, like, they have, like, trackers to track your body. Like, if you're on the Olympic team, like, they'll map you up with, like, animation stuff, and they'll capture your motion and tell you, hey, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to correct, this is out of whack. Same thing to do with, like, pro sports players, like NFL players for football, where they track your body, throw in motion, all that stuff. They do that for archery now, which is insane. And even, like, with the bows, think about how far bows have advanced. It used to just be a stick with a string on it.
A naturally bendy stick with a bit of string, and it shot another stick out of it.
And now it's become a game of counterbalance, making it as light as we can, durable as we can. Like, just think what the different types of limbs there are. You have bamboo limbs, foam limbs,
but I suppose
limbs,
it's
like,
definitely changing, like, our need for it. Like, you know, the Mongo bow, it worked because they just need to be fast. And then, you know, shooting fast isn't a thing anymore. You need to shoot accurate. So we've changed the entire way bows work. Like, if you brought, like, say, your setup to a caveman, I don't even think you'd want to use it.
No.
You know, because... Well, maybe he would, but, you know, realistically, it's not built for the same thing. So
it's not.
Yeah.
It's built for sport. Both of our bows are built for sport.
Completely. Yeah.
Just the way they're designed, counter, like, all the stuff that goes into it. And it's kind of crazy to see, too, like, the different materials throughout the years being used for stuff.
Yeah.
Like, magnesium risers were a huge thing in the 80s and 90s. Think about how heavy that would be, though.
You wouldn't want to get it wet.
Magnesium, right. And you wouldn't want to get it wet either. But think about how heavy that shit would be. And then compared to now, like, I think mine's aluminum. But the newest Hoyt ones, they're, like, the lightest riser that's ever been created, but also the most durable because of the way that they're punctured out with the holes in them. Even the limbs. Like, where, I don't know what kind of limbs
are. How limbs work without exploding. It scares me.
I my buddy delaminated. He has had two sets explode on him.
I've never
delaminated.
Had it happen. Thank God it hasn't. The worst thing I ever did to my bow was I shot my rest off, like, twice ever.
You shot your rest off?
Yeah.
How do you shoot your rest off?
I don't know. I guess using it too much.
So what kind of rest do you use? Just out of curiosity.
Well, now I use this Spigarelli one. I used to use just the normal plastic ones that Hoyt give you.
Do you have a button too? You can have a button, yeah. Right? A plunger? Okay, so you can. Yeah. So I have a plunger. I shoot the plastic ones. I actually like the plastic ones, to be honest, because the way that they sit with the arrows, and they're cheap enough that you can replace them and they start to go bad. But the thing with the worst thing I've ever done with my bow. Let's see. Do you shoot with a sling on or no? Do you have a sling for your fingers? Do okay. My sling broke when I was shooting, so I don't know. How do you follow through?
Mine is pretty much just stable, constant. It doesn't drop because it's
barrel. You don't drop your arm. You don't drop your you don't drop your wrist.
See, like I drop the way it's weighted, it can't do that naturally, so it would just be a forced thing.
So mine is weighted so that my wrist drops because I have a big front stabilizer and two sidebars, so it's weighted up front, and I follow through by dropping my wrist. So I follow through by dropping my wrist. And usually I have the sling on, so I'm not grabbing the bow, whatever, and I know it's sitting in my hand. Well, my sling was paracord at that time, decided to break, and my bow just went boop and bounced, and I was like, oh, my bow.
Yeah. Well, thank God it's bendy in the first place, so it can kind of take some of that, but good Lord, that's awful. Yeah.
I've seen people shoot their limbs off because they didn't snap them in right. I was at States when I was younger, and that some kid, awful. Some kid, oh, it was terrifying. I fucked my shot up. I was at full draw, and this kid shot next to me, and you hear, and you just see the shits go flying down. My arrow missed so bad, dude. It looked like I missed the target by a good, 3 feet up, because I jumped and let my arrow go. And we look, and there's just this tangle of limbs in the string, and they're perfectly fine, no damage to them, but the dude shot his limbs off.
That is awful. That is absolutely awful. And then, that goes up another scale when you're shooting a compound. It fucking explodes.
They fucking, dude.
And you'll have this string-shaped scar on your face afterwards.
Please tell me your biggest fear is dry firing a bow or seeing somebody dry fire a bow. Because that is the thing that has been ingrained. I have never dry fired.
I dry fired a border one. And they have hypo recurve. So it should have exploded, but it hasn't. I haven't really shot it since. I have it beside me, but I haven't shot it.
That's, dude. I've seen dry fires happen, and as an archer, that's the thing that terrifies me the most. And also, them strings hurt. I've gotten hit with my, when I was younger, and even now, if I don't turn my wrist right, I get hit with my string even with my thing on. And I used to have a metal bead on for my knocking point, and that shit would hurt. It would well up. Because you're shooting basically yourself with a rubber band that's got 40 pounds of force on it, and it's going to hit you in the arm.
I suppose because you're putting yours lower down, it is in line to hit your...
Yeah,
arm. Mine not really as high isn't. Up.
Yeah, because it's not going to hit, but mine will hit the inside of my forearm, right here. And because I have hyperextended elbows, it's really hard, so I got to make sure I turn it over. And if I don't turn it over right, well,
you're gone.
Then you get a big welt on your arm, and it hurts like a bitch for a week.
I avoided doing that for a long time, and then I did it in Greece when I was at a competition.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
I did it at Nationals and shot a 30 that round. Mm. I smacked the first arrow. I smacked my arm, and it was a 10. And I was like, my arm is hurting so bad. And the dude was next to me was just like, dude next to me was like, just do it. I was like, all right. And I shot through. It was last round of the tournament. I shot through it. Shot a 30. First 30 I've ever shot in a competition. I was so hyped. But that shit hurts. That's the worst pain for sure. Other than exploding a bow. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to explode a bow. And I was having this argument with someone, not really an argument, it was just a conversation about bows versus guns. And I said, the great thing about doing archery is you can recover the ammo. Whereas, you're paying a lot for bullets and then, they're kind of one use, You're not going out there picking them up and trying to use them again. It doesn't work. I suppose if you use a musket, sure. But
use a musket.
Not really for everyone else. Or even the cost, you want to get a pretty good gun, you want to pay about $500. You want to get a good bow, you'll get a good bow for $500.
Oh, yeah, you'll
do very well with $500.
You'll get a good setup for $500. And then I think the thing about archery is the upfront cost is the big issue for a lot of people.
I think that's why the sport isn't as big as it could be.
Because it's expensive upfront to get decent equipment. And get arrows. What's make that first purchase? Like I said, I've had the same riser for the last 10 years. Like, you make that first purchase and you just you build on it, and it's cheaper to go along and build. Where like other sports, for example, soccer, what, you buy cleats, $60 for cleats, that's it. Like,
yeah.
Same thing. Like, you can compare it to golf almost. Golf, you gotta buy, you gotta invest in a bunch of clubs, and then maintain those. Once, yeah. If you maintain those same clubs, you're fine. You don't have to worry about it. Like, that's why where I started was great, which was the JOAD program, which is designed to help. It's junior Olympic archer development, and it's designed to get people into the sport. So they have equipment. Like, I was borrowing equipment from them for the longest time until I got my own bow. And it's, like I said, it's fantastic that they have it set up like that. Then you get people into the sport, figure out if they love it, if they don't love it, then you get a bow. And once you buy a bow, it's over, though. Like, the moment you get your first bow, it's done. You're locked into the sport forever.
Yeah,
and you're buying and then you're buying other stuff to go with it and other things to try out. And I don't know, like, I have a compound bow just for shits and giggles. Like, somebody had an old one. It's actually a really nice bow. They don't make them anymore. And he was like, oh, I'm trying to get rid of this. And I was like, all right, how much you want for it? And he was like, oh, you can just have it. And I have one. I haven't got to shoot it yet because I got to replace the strings. But, like, I have a compound bow just for fun. People buy shit just for fun once they're in this sport. Like, at some point, I'll be picking up a bear bow to, or at least something to shoot instinctive with just for fun. The other thing, too, is equipment management. How much of your own equipment management do you do?
What do you mean by that?
So, do you fletch your own arrows?
No.
You don't? Yeah, I'm assuming you don't make your own strings in either, I'm assuming.
No.
Yeah. So, no. I know how to fletch my own arrows. I do fletch my own arrows. I've cut my own arrows before, too. String making, I was going to learn, but there's something terrifying about giving me the knowledge to make the thing that could explode in my face. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
If I trust myself enough, I trust my coach who has been doing it forever and was one of the best archers in the area for a long time. And then now he just comes and teaches, you know, us how to shoot. And dude's like Gandalf of archery, man. Like, he knows everything. You have a question?
Yeah.
Like, I'll be shooting and, like, be messing something up, and I'll, like, walk over to ask him, like, hey, I'm like, hitting here. He goes, all right, you're doing this, this, and this, fix it. And then he'll walk over, like, around later and be like, yeah, you fixed it. I'm like, yeah, I fixed it. I was like, how do you know that? He goes, I just know. And he gave me a flash drive. He told me to buy a flash drive. I have a 32-gigabyte flash drive with all of his archery knowledge on it from the last 30-so years. There's videos and, like, schematics for stuff, like, all that stuff is just there. And it's, again, it's such a beautiful sport. And it's cool, too, like, the way we met, for the people that don't know at all, I followed this dude on Instagram because he popped up in, like, my recommended, and we started talking, shooting the shit about random stuff because we're the same age, whatever, and we have this common interest. And we would talk about archery, we'd argue about, you know, which is better, shooting Olympic or freestyle, like, all that, like, we talked about that, and that's how we kind of bonded, and that's why I'm here today, just talking about this with him, because it's cool. It's just two friends talking about something they love, and it's a sport that I really recommend that anybody has any interest in, try getting into it.
Oh, yeah.
Even the slightest inkling, just, like, try it. Try it once, at least.
At a family fun camp, pick up the bow.
Exactly. Just pick it up, shoot it, see if you like it, see if you have what it takes. Like, it's a mental sport. It's more a mental sport than a physical sport, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, physically, it's not that demanding.
You need to be fairly strong.
You need to be physically fit to do it, but, like, we're both, you know, average-sized guys. I'm 6 foot, 150 pounds, and I'm like, muscular, but I'm not jacked. I don't look like freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, it's just, it's all about what you build muscle-wise, and they build up over time, and it's more just mental, like, stay out of your own head, don't worry about what happened, just keep shooting when things are going wrong, like, that's all archery is, and it's one of the greatest things for, I think, for kids to get into, is to learn those lessons through a sport versus try and muddle through it by themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's some things you get from a sport that you can't get anywhere else.
And no other sport really teaches you that. Like,
yeah.
No other sport teaches you that you are the one that has to put things behind you and you're in control and it's not anything else that's bothering you. your team sports are great for learning, you know, leadership, comradeship, all that stuff. But
this one teaches you personal responsibility, which is something a lot of people are lacking.
Oh, a lot of people are lacking, especially in America. It's a beautiful sport. Why would you not want to do something so beautiful and just so elegant? Like watching the professional shooter shoot, it is 100% control of their mind and body every single time they shoot.
Yeah, I guess that's a person who's fully in control. You see it with like some great martial artists. I know technically archery is a martial art.
It is technically a martial art. So yeah, it's like martial arts then in that regard. Like if you look at, there's so many great. George St. Pierre. You look at George St. Pierre.
What a guy.
Dude, probably the greatest of all time. But you look at George St. Pierre, he is in 100% control of his body at all times. He is so in tune with his body and mind that he's pulling off these moves without even thinking about it. And it's the same thing with archery. You're making adjustments subconsciously. Like, I know, like, I'll start aiming off a little bit because my eyes will get tired and I'll start to see less well. And, like, I'll aim off just to the side and I'll just subconsciously just fix it. It's the same concept, just full control, total control of yourself and your mind. And like mindfulness is a big thing now in meditation, yoga, stuff like that. Like it's the same concepts that go into this sport that everybody like just kind of knocks off as, hey, it's just these guys playing with sharp sticks. Like, no, it's really difficult. And if you get into it, the theory behind it and everything behind it is just mind blowing.
No, it really is. It's a beautiful thing. And if you're listening now and you're not an archer, this must sound pretty like, look at these whack jobs talking about shooting sticks out of sticks. Yeah. But no, it really is a powerful thing. So I suppose that's kind of it. Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere else we could touch base on.
Not really, man. It was a pleasure being here, though. Pleasure talking about it. I'll pop back on one of these days again.
No problem. So, and hopefully my Jamie will be here, Thomas.
Dude, yeah. Well, we need your Jamie so he can fact check us when we're just throwing out random bullshit.
So, if people want to check you out, David, where can they find you?
My Instagram, d.wit84, and that's about it. I post my life and random archery stuff is on there all the time. And if people have questions about archery, they can contact me there too. If they're in the States, whatever they want to learn, ask where to start. I'm more than happy to point them in the right direction in that regard because it's something I love and I love growing the sport. So.
Well, there you go. So thank you very much for getting on. And to everyone who got this far, fair play, especially if you're not an archer. And take it handy.